New York Sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 306, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Still talking mainly Subway Series. There's football to discuss as camps opened up. Giants had a bit of a scare. Aaron Rodgers got a chance to speak. Still waiting on Hassan Reddick. So there's things to discuss. We have 5 hours tomorrow to get into all of that as well. But so we're focused mainly right now on the Subway Series and the Mets' domination over the New York Yankees and the just stark difference between the two and how well the Mets played and how they took Gerrit Cole. I mean, forget, just it's time. There are two teams that Gerrit Cole, as a New York Yankee, has been unable to beat or pitch well against, and that is the Boston Red Sox and the New York Mets. The Mets absolutely owned Gerrit Cole, and he was brutally awful in this game. Awful. And I know we spent a lot of time on the offense, and that's usually where we start, and clearly their biggest problem, no doubt, not in this game necessarily, but as bad as it was. And Aaron Boone's become a topic, and just Yankee fans want blood, and I understand why. It's been that bad where it's reasonable. Again, coming from the apparent Mr. Aaron Boone defender, it's certainly reasonable to feel like a change is necessary in manager. I don't necessarily feel that way, but I wouldn't complain if it happened. But he's been a talking point, and somehow Gerrit Cole has kind of snuck by, and he was just awful in this game, a game they absolutely needed him to be far better than this. Just absolutely needed him to be far better than this. And you know, I know he's coming off injury. I get it. But he's healthy now. It's been enough starts. And this performance is the antithesis of everything he was last year. Last year, he was their guy. He was their ace. He showed up every time. When they needed him, he was there. He had nothing in this game. And he continued to throw cutters right down the middle of the plate. I mean, just awful. I know he got the first eight batters out. A ball held up by the wind from McNeil that Soto makes a nice catch on. I don't think it was going out, but great catch. The wind definitely held it up. I thought it was gone off the bat for sure. I think everybody did. Jeff McNeil's face was hilarious. He was just like, huh? But to have the first batter of the game for the Yankees in Gleyber Torres hit a home run, then to give that up with a solo home run to Taylor, which is the one pitch I will, I guess, kind of give Cole the benefit of the doubt on. It was a pitch, I don't know, about a foot high up off the plate. But when you get predictable and start throwing high fastballs and get yourself in a position where a guy like Tyrone Taylor can just sit on a high fastball and gets it, that's on you too. But the cutters were atrocious. And then to get the lead again when Soto hits the home run, you have to, I know it's unfair, but right now you have to make it stick. You make $326 million. You're the ace of the staff. And quite honestly, although it's not nearly his fault necessarily, this kind of the rotation went to crap and the team went to crap as soon as he's been back. And this was a game he had to step up and give them a performance. Listen, the offense might not have scored him enough runs, but he can't do what he did and give up bomb after bomb after bomb. He can't give up these miserable home runs. He can't throw a cutter that doesn't cut is a 93-mile-an-hour fastball down the middle. He was atrocious in this game, and they need more from him. They need more from him. And right now, look, with the offense and waiting for the deadline, it might be unfair to ask, but it's been long enough. He's made enough starts. He's fully back off the injury. He can go 100, 110 pitches. We've seen it before. This performance against the Mets, and it's frustrating that he consistently, like, I understand there are teams that you struggle against. We've seen it certainly more so with offensive players. But we've seen pitchers who kill certain teams, pitch well against certain teams. Sometimes you see a uniform and you're just great. He's too good to be a victim of the Red Sox and Met uniform. He's too good to every single time he faces one of those two teams as a New York Yankee, and those two teams are pretty significant, he can't get anybody out. He's too good. And he let his team down. And that performance yesterday was garbage. And I'll tell you, let's just get on the Stars, right? Soto hits the home run in this game, double. He's been great. He did nothing in the first game of the series. He hit ground ball after ground ball to first base. And then Aaron Judge, yes, he was walked four times. Diekman struck him out with two fastballs down the middle. And he did nothing in this game either. And he was attacked in this game. He was pitched to in this game. And he did absolutely nothing. And in a big spot, he took a changeup on the outside corner, 3-2, and looked right at it. So, yeah, it's unfair to blame the three stars of this team. It's not the reason they're in this tailspin. But when you are in a tailspin, it's the manager's job, sure, to get him out of it. It's the best player's job to get him out of it as well. The Yankees needed Gerrit Cole yesterday, and he was nowhere to be found other than quickly turning his head back and watching ball after ball sail out of the ballpark. Now, could Aaron Boone have taken him out before he faced Taylor, who had two hits against him already? I'm sure there are many Yankee fans who thought so. That's Gerrit Cole. And the day I have to take out Gerrit Cole because he can't get out Tyron Taylor out, that's a problem. That's a problem. They need a judge in this series. He wasn't there. Did he have few opportunities? Yeah, but he needed to capitalize on them. They needed Cole in this series. They needed Cole yesterday to give them a start. And he was terrible. And this Met offense absolutely dominated him, as well as everybody else they brought in after him. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Andy in Iowa. What's up, Andy?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac? How are you?
What's up, man?
Is this not much. Another day.
Are you calling from heaven?
I actually just recently moved back to the East Coast, but was out there for 3 years. Got the full Caitlin Clark experience out there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there during the height of that whole craziness. So, So she was in every grocery store on a billboard or on a cardboard cutout. I wanted to hit on the Mets. Super excited, especially seeing Francisco Lindor succeed and looking like now he's worth that huge contract.
Listen, Francisco Lindor right now, this is without, in my mind, I don't know how you feel as a Met fan, this is without question the best stretch he's played as a New York Met. He's been, the minute they put him in that leadoff spot and he called the meeting, he has just turned it to another level. He's almost inarguably the best shortstop in the game right now. He's turned himself into a viable MVP candidate. It is what he's doing right now. And the scene with him hitting the home runs and having fun and giving gum to his daughter. Right now, everything, the vibes around the Mets right now are immaculate. And he's a huge, huge part of it. And I'm hoping that now this puts to bed all the nonsense about him. And all the, because, listen, he's a little bit hot and cold at times. Now he's on a real good long-term hot streak. But can he be up and down? Almost every player in baseball is. But by the end of the year, he consistently does this. And he needs to be there at times when they're struggling. Sure, it happens. But, Lindor has just been a force, an absolute force.
As is
the driving force, really, of this team right now.
Yeah, he'll be a fascinating player to, analyze at the end of his tenure with the Mets. But I also just wanted to comment, too. I think the most underrated aspect of the team right now is just their starting rotation and how they've just stayed healthy. And I think you just know what to expect from them, day after day. So,
well, we'll see. So they've lost Scott. I would assume they want to keep the six-man rotation. So we'll see who they bring up to join the rotation. They already announced something? Okay, Martinez and McGill for Saturday. You got, obviously, Kodai Senga coming back, who you hope can... I don't know if he's a legitimate ace, but, you're going to have two really top-of-the-line number two starters, at the very least, with him and Severino. They don't go deep into games all the time. There was a stretch there for a while where they were walking the ballpark, but they've kind of cleaned that up a little bit. But yeah, the rotation is filled with twos and threes, and you feel fairly confident about it. I mean, yeah, you go into a playoff matchup, there's a decent chance, certainly game one, that you're going to have an unfavorable pitching matchup. But with this offense, all you really need is a serviceable rotation. Now,
at the
trade deadline here, I don't think if you're going to go out and get a middling starting pitcher, I don't know if that makes sense for the Mets. They clearly need more answers in the bullpen. But, I mean, if they find themselves in a situation right now, I am tempted. I am tempted to forego all of my thoughts about building for the future. And all. I mean, this team feels special. And if there's an opportunity to go out there and get a real difference maker, whether it's in the bullpen, even if we're talking about rentals, even if we're talking about guys like Tanner Scott who would, you know, leave or, you know, have to be re-signed or whatever the case may be. Like, even for rentals, if you can get me a real difference maker for this team, I mean, watching them play, watching this offense 1-9, it's hard to not think they have a legitimate chance to be special and have a special season.
Absolutely.
It's tough.
And just one quick question before you let me go. Just one quick question. I just wanted to ask you, do you feel like this team is more special than we felt about the 2022 team before, obviously, the season ended? I don't know. Like, that team was really special.
Right. That was also, I mean, the reason you felt special about that team is you had Scherzer up until that Atlanta series having one of the better, certainly at least ERA-wise, having a great year. It started right from the jump. You believed in the, the Buck effect. I would offensively they're better now. Offensively, they're better now. Even with Pete Alonso having a better year than batting title from McNeil, I would still tell you right now, top to bottom, it just feels like they have more threats in this lineup now. Now, obviously, the starting rotation you had. DeGrom missed a bunch of time, but he came back towards the end of the year. And heading into a playoff series, you had DeGrom and Scherzer. You felt good about that. Even, you know, the starting rotation was better than it is right now. You had guys who really, you know, answered the bell up until the last series against Atlanta and then the playoffs. So, I don't know. The lineup's much better now. The lineup's much better now. And I'm trying to think back to that team, if there were vibes, if there was like an OMG type thing or a grimace type thing. There's just something funky about starting the way they started, turning it around now, getting this type of season from Nimmo, getting this type of season from Lindor, having the added professional at-bats of J.D. Martinez, as well as guys who you didn't expect anything from. Iglesias was a nothing pickup, and now he's your starting second baseman. I mean, everyone was dying to go get a player that you could put Vientos on in the minor leagues, and now he's a force at the bottom of the order. Alvarez has had an impact on the pitching staff and on winning just at an unbelievable clip, even during slumps. I mean, there's a lot going on here that feels special with the Mets. And so does it feel more special? They were certainly more viewed as a better team. Like, I would think, in 2022, you looked at them and said, oh, this is a real damn good team. Right now, it feels like it's a little bit of a magic carpet ride, and you're waiting to see if it ends. But offensively, they are just dominant. They've been killing starting pitching. They've just, you know, other than Miami, who they've struggled against, that's it. I mean, they've played really good baseball for a long time now. Jim in the Jersey Shore, what's up, Jim?
So, Chris,
what's up, buddy?
So the Mets team in 22, I don't want to call about the Yanks, but that Mets team, I mean, the general manager just screwed that team at the deadline when he went out and got Vogelback and the other guy from the Giants. Forget what his name was. Terrible.
Yeah, they went out and traded for Ruff. Well, I mean, listen, Vogelback wasn't terrible after the deadline. I mean, he really wasn't. The next year was the problem with Vogelback, but he wasn't terrible after the deadline.
I know, but if you're in that Met line, you know, in that locker room, you're like, you know, you were underwhelmed. I remember, I'm not a Mets fan. I said, this team's got a shot. And then once they pulled that trade deadline, I said, this guy kidding? Anyway, let's get to the Yanks.
Yeah.
You know, Trent Grisham's been a 190 hitter for 3 years in a row. I believe that's what he averaged in San Diego. I mean, if I'm a general manager, and I hate Cashman, and we both know that. If I'm a general manager, I don't care if he's a backup. I don't want a guy on my team. I don't care if he's a gold glover, which he is. He's a good center fielder. But if a guy hits 390 3 years in a row, I don't need him on my team.
I understand that thought process. I think it's a little flawed in your thinking, but he's a because he's a backup.
Why? Guy hits 190, Chris, 190 in 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Why am I flawed?
Well, because one, he's a Gold Glove caliber bench piece.
I don't care
for a team. I understand. Chris, how do we feel about
190?
Again, how do we feel about the postseason? Because in the postseason against the Mets, he hit 500 and had an OPS of 1.917. And then in the Dodgers series, he hit 300 and had a 938 OPS.
It's lightning in the bottle. Another thing, we got a guy named Brian Stabian, I believe, who's actually been a general manager, who's actually won World Series. You cannot fire Aaron Boone if you don't fire this other bum.
Well, you're not going to fire Cashman right now. It doesn't make any sense to fire your general manager this
season. You want to give him a chance to screw our team at the trade deadline?
Screw this team? How do you screw this team?
He's a desperate GM. He's a desperate GM fighting for his job.
Yeah.
I don't want this guy trading anybody from my team. Let him go. Give Brian Stabian the job, and let's get this thing on track.
Yeah, okay. Do you know what Brian Stabian says about Brian Cashman? He's a bum.
He's a bum.
He's a bum. I got you. He's a bum. He's a bum. He's a bum. I got you. He's a bum. I completely disagree with you. I don't know what else to tell you. I completely disagree with you. He's not a bum. He has not had a good couple years. The idea he's a bum is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Go around and ask people inside baseball what they think of Brian Cashman if he's not a bum. Ask Brian Sabian who you want to replace him with, whether or not he's a bum. You know, Brian Cashman has earned the right. You could have fired him at the end of the offseason last year, and you could fire him after this year. He's earned the right to have this trade deadline. I don't care what you say. He's been here for 25 years. It's been 25 years of winning. I know they haven't won the ultimate prize. The Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 88. Does anybody think the Dodgers are poorly run? Or is their GM a bum? It's not easy to win World Series. They failed at different times for different reasons. I'm not saying he's above being fired. I'm open. I agree with you. I think they are kind of attached at the hip. But you fire a manager for a spark. Firing the general manager does not create a spark. And you're not going to fire a general manager right before the trade deadline. It makes absolutely zero sense. The thought of firing Brian Cashman today before the trade deadline is idiotic. It's flat out stupid. In the offseason, you want to make the change? We could have that discussion. Firing him right now, the guy who's been leading the team that is going out there scouting all these guys, you're going to fire him 6 days, 5 days now before the trade deadline. You'd be an idiot to do so. An absolute idiot. And you're going to come. Your main point of why he's bad this year is because he got Trent Grisham a throw in that they wanted to include in Juan Soto. And they should have said no to that and prevent getting Juan Soto. He's a bench player who's an excellent defensive outfielder. That's all he is. They've had injuries, so he's had to play more. He didn't play in the first. Like, he didn't play at all. The first month, the 2 months of the season, he never played. He was a bench player. The plan wasn't to rely on Grisham this much. He was included in the Juan Soto trade. Stop. That call all the way around is just dumb. You had a terrible reason for getting on Cashman for this particular team when there's like umpteen different options to blame Brian Cashman. You pick the Trent Grisham angle. And then you tell me you need him fired today. Like, what are you, nuts? You don't want him heading up the trade deadline. What are they going to do now? He's running this thing right now. You can't take him out. That's like saying you want Joe Shane fired 5 days before the draft. You can't do it. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Big Mac, it's been a while since I called you. Now I'm going to go to one of my old saws, and that is it is beyond stupid to pay starting pitchers big money because, like you said about Gerrit Cole, they're always coming off injury, every single one of them. The last ace to pitch in New York City was named Jacob DeGrom, mm-hmm. and he got paid and he got injured. The only thing dumber than paying Gerrit Cole was paying Carlos Rodon.
Yeah.
You don't pay starting pitchers. You pay position players, and you get as many relievers as money can buy, and you have starting pitchers on rookie contracts. And once they get to the point where they got to get paid, you ship them off to dumb organizations like the Dodgers and the Yankees. Paying Gerrit Cole is beyond stupid unless you have an absolutely unlimited payroll. Maybe there's another past his prime starter the Yankees can pay $30 million to.
Well, I mean, you can't call Cole past his prime. He won the Cy Young last year.
Yeah, pitching six innings, there shouldn't be
that's
a Cy Young giving out unless you
does.
Can. Yeah, that's why you shouldn't pay starters because
Someone's still the best at it. You can't say. I'm just saying. You can't say he's beyond his prime.
Wouldn't you rather have a great position player though? Look at the Yankees' record since Stanton's been down. Look at their record when Cole was injured. You need position players. You need relievers.
I don't disagree that position.
Starting pitcher.
Yeah. But then when you get to the postseason, you need good starting pitching. You do.
Well,
you need good starting pitching.
Cole's done that one time for the Yankees. He's been good in the postseason once, so it's a crapshoot with him anyway.
No,
El Duque over Gerrit Cole any day of the week.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, El Duque is was a great postseason pitcher, no doubt. But I mean, how do you go find El Duque? How do you know who's the next El Duque? How do you know
the next
Nathan Eovaldi is going to be? How do you know
I'll tell you who isn't. You don't pay Paul Skeens and you don't trade for him.
Okay.
When the Pirates got to pay him, you ship him out for the best position players you can find. You don't pay him because you know he's going to need Tommy John at some point. That's a given.
I mean, listen, I understand your point. I do. I think it's silly to say they didn't need Gerrit Cole. They need Gerrit Cole. They absolutely do. And come playoff time, you need starting pitching. But without question, who's more important? Position players over the course of the regular season is much more important than starting pitching, I'll give you. For the 162, it's not even close. But then it's when you get into the postseason. But what are you going to do? You're going to never pay a starting pitcher? Good luck developing, finding. Like, you're talking about, give me the El Duque. Okay, give me some more guys. Like, how do you find El Duque? How do you know Carl Pavano is going to be a great postseason pitcher? How do you know who to target? That's going to be the kind of guy you can get on the cheap who's going to pitch great in the postseason. How do you figure that out? You want to just throw rookies out there? Oh, yeah, just nothing but rookies. Good luck with that. I think you have a point, and then you take it way too far. Liam in Blue Point. What's up, Liam?
Hey, Chris. How we doing?
What's going on, bud?
Not much, but just with the Yankees real quick. Coming up with the trade deadline, I feel like we need a lot of pieces at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, what the real question is, what do you go out and get? And then on top of that, if we keep going this route, I don't know if the playoffs are even in talks anymore, to be honest.
Well, of course they are. Of course they are. Of course the playoffs are in talks. They're the first wild card team. They're a game and a half out of the postseason. The team they're chasing, a game and a half out of the division. The team they're chasing in the division can't beat the Miami Marlins. Like, I mean, I know we don't look at it that way, and I'm not saying you have to focus on all the other teams, but that's the facts. The facts is the Baltimore Orioles are struggling almost as bad as the Yankees. They're right in the mix. Like, of course the playoffs are still on there. They've been terrible for a month and a half. Baltimore can't pull away. We just have to be, you could say they're terrible and recognize where they are. They're a game and a half behind the Orioles. They have the fourth best record in the American, the Orioles are better, the Cleveland Guardians are better, that's it. They have the third best record in the American League. I understand how they're playing. they're a week away from the trade deadline and getting Stanton back and getting Dominguez back and getting John Birdie back. Like, we have to see who they're going to be. They might miss the playoffs. I don't know. I can't guarantee you that all those things I just mentioned turn it around. I don't know. But to even contemplate that the playoffs aren't a thing, the playoffs are a thing right now. There's just no way around it. They're just, until furthermore, like, if your point is the Yankees should look at this trade deadline as if the playoffs aren't a thing, then I totally disagree with you.
Yeah, I'm just, I see
your
point.
You're mad. You're frustrated. You're angry. They play terribly. I get it. I'm mad too. They play terribly. But you have to just, there's both. I yelled and screamed, and I'm pissed off. And they're awful right now. They're awful right now. And without Stanton coming back and without, like, the team currently that they have is not good enough. The team that they have right now is not good enough. They have guys coming back and the trade deadline. We'll have to see if it's good enough. Now, you asked, what are they going to do? They're going to get an infielder for sure. Hopefully two bats, but they're going to get at least one bat. They're going to get at least one back in end of the bullpen reliever. And then probably two other things, and we'll see what level they are and what they are. Could be a low-end starting pitcher. Could be a high-end starting pitcher. Could be another reliever. Could be another middling reliever. Could be another big-time bat. Could be an average, small-limit kind of bat. But they're going to get four players. They're going to get three or four players. That's how many players they need. They're going to get Major League Baseball players, three or four of them. There's no doubt. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. That's what, like, Brian Cashman's not sitting this one out. So that's all I'll say. I'm as mad as anyone. Last night was embarrassing. The Mets absolutely dominated. And there's no doubt who the best team in the city is. There's no doubt the lineup is just jarring how much better the Mets offense is than the New York Yankee offense is. It's just absolutely jarring. You watch it and you go, my God, Alvarez, who's slumping? But Alvarez is hitting eighth. The nine hitter dominated the baseball game. The Yankees don't have anybody. That's why I chuckled last night. We were arguing about the order in which, you know, Boone puts the lineup. The lineup sucks. Now we can get into some different lineup thoughts, and I have some on what the Yankees could do. But ultimately, I don't care where you put Judge and Soto or whoever else, like. The other parts of the lineup have to hit or it doesn't matter. Unless Judge and Soto are just going to hit doubles or home runs, alternate every other at bat, double home run. Unless they do something like that, the rest of the lineup needs to get better. But they are 5 days away from the trade deadline where I know Brian Cashman's going to be active. You know he's going to get somebody. Hopefully it works. And the team is going to look far different than it did last night. In 5 days.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
338, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. An embarrassing performance from the New York Yankees. They get swept away in the Subway Series for the first time since 2013. And really the most one-sided. I mean, again, I don't even remember. I know the Yankees have obviously won a lot of these series. I don't ever remember a domination from the Yankees towards the Mets. Like, I just don't remember ever feeling like, oh man, we just torched the Mets. I maybe it's because there's only a limited amount of times where they were both like in playoff contention and good at the same time. You know, the Mets have obviously struggled a lot over the last handful of years, but I don't ever remember such a obvious, clear cut, we are just far better than you. I mean, it just, that's how it felt. Nobody has made me feel that way as a Yankee fan. The Red Sox haven't done it. The Orioles haven't done it. They got swept by the Cincinnati Reds, but, I mean, you know, the Reds didn't, like, just dominate them and make you feel like inferior. It was like, oh, my God, how the hell do you lose to the Reds? This doesn't feel like, oh, my God, how'd you lose to the Mets? This feels like, oh, my God, how are the Mets so much better than the New York Yankees? All right, so you have some sweeps for me as far as how many times the Yankees have swept the entire season series.
Obviously. Right, so they put it up today. There have only been four entire season-long sweeps in Subway Series history. The Mets this year, 2013, which was a four-game set.
Right.
And then the Yankees in 2017 and the Yankees in 2003. The 2017 one were four close games. You have a two-run game, one-run game, two runs, and it was after the Mets had already sold in mid-August. So
okay.
Not blowouts, and also the Mets had already completely punted on everything at that point.
Right.
The one where it's much closer to domination, two games at Shea Stadium, five-run loss, four-run loss for the Mets, so five- and four-run wins for the Yankees.
Right.
This one had another split borough doubleheader.
Yeah.
In June, Yankees win by 2, 6, 1, and 2, so they sweep all six.
Yeah.
And a couple of them are close to blowouts.
Yeah. So the only argument would be six as opposed to four. In that series sweep from the Yankees, they had won six games. The Mets had only won four. But no, it's not. I mean, it's not like this. It's not like this. It's not like the Mets having fun at the Yankees' expense. It's not
and the
like
Mets
this.
Were so bad already in early 2003 that it was like, whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Both of these teams are in playoff contention right now. However good you think either of them are, and certainly the Yankees right now are not very good. They're playing like one of the worst teams in baseball for the last month, but they are still in playoff contention. They are still the leading wild card. And so for both of them to be playoff teams, theoretically, and to have one of them just absolutely dominate the other, it's, I don't ever remember it. We can have a laugh about Luis Castillo, which, by the way, I've been meaning to bring up the Luis Castillo game. Do you remember who was on the mound for the Mets when the Luis Castillo game happened?
Yeah, Francisco Rodriguez. Right, so it was his first blown save as a Met.
Francisco Rodriguez, first blown save as a Met, correct. We still call it the Luis Castillo game, right? Not the Francisco Rodriguez game, right?
Well, why would it be? He got a Clay Holmes.
So when Verdugo falls down in left field and Volpe drops an easy ground ball, tell me again how it's Clay Holmes' fault. Nobody was blaming Francisco Rodriguez when the pop-up was dropped, did they? It's the Luis Castillo game. That's the same equivalent as dropping the pop-up. I know, I can't let that Clay Holmes game go. I can't let it go.
It only took me like half a second to figure out exactly what you were trying to do.
No, it's clear. I mean, listen, you got to strike him out. You got to strike Alex Rodriguez out. You can't allow him to pop the ball up. Anything can happen if he pops the ball up, Chris. You got to strike him out. Otherwise, it's on the pitcher. I mean, he had guys on base. He allowed Alex Rodriguez to put the ball in play on him. Clearly on him. You're a bunch of dopes.
Only gave up one hit in the inning, and the walk to Teixeira,
I'm pretty sure
was intentional.
Doesn't matter. It's the pop-up game. It's the Luis Castillo game. And that final game, and that's really, it feels like that was like a line of demarcation for the Yankees. As bad as this has been for a long time, that game, Rice hits the three-run home run. They take the lead. They're about to sweep the freaking Baltimore Orioles and take the lead in the division heading into the All-Star game. And they fall down! It's funny, too, because he had, if you care about these catch probabilities, Verdugo fell down on a 99% catch probability, and last night he had a hit robbed from him on a 5% catch possibility.
What was Castillo's catch probability, 104%?
Something like that. When you fall down, when you drop a pop-up, it's no longer on the closer. That game was not on Clay Holmes, and that game is going to stick in my craw. As we watch Volpe and Verdugo struggle, as we watch them, you know, come up time after time with opportunities to drive in runs and take a lead or get closer or, you know, blow open a game, as we watch them fail, I can't help but think back about when they dropped an easy ground ball and they fell down on a fly ball. to sweep the Orioles, the Yankees would be a half a game out of first place if they didn't fall down. Ugh. I'd rather get beat up by the Mets last night than have a game literally if the guy didn't fall down, they win. I'd rather get just annihilated. Joe in the Bronx. What's up, Joe? You're on the Fan.
C-Mac.
Yes, sir.
Love your show as always.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
And thank you for taking my call, man. I just want to say regarding Boone, I listen, I'm a Mets fan. I don't gloat on what happened. Mm-hmm. Because
well,
to me,
today's the day. You have like an hour. Once the...
And, C-Mac, I hate that these guys have to go through this because I think it means more to the fans, like these fans.
Oh, yeah.
Half of them aren't fans. And I just have a quick story, if you can listen. I remember when they hired Buck Showalter.
Yeah.
The Mets. And, you know, I mean, he's supposed to be a genius. He's this, he's that.
Sure.
There was no chemistry there. And absolutely, I'm a Aaron Boone fan. I'm a baseball fan first. And I don't think that he should take any blame for this. Maybe there is a need for new chemistry. I think Stearns hiring Mendoza was a brilliant move. And he's done some good things. I hope if you agree.
I think he's done a really nice job. He's settled the early onslaught of terrible play. They've turned it around. He's been a stabilizing force for them. He's done a good job. He's had a little bit of feel to him. He's got this lineup going. I mean, I don't know if he's done anything drastic great where I look at it and go, man, that's my manager. But he's done, I mean, the way they're playing right now, when they were left for dead by idiots on the radio who said they were done and dead. I mean, that I'm trying to give.
They are dead.
There you go. I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead.
I'm surprised we haven't played that already. It took till 3:47. We've been on for an hour.
I thought about it, but I didn't want to. I mean, you look so hurt today.
No, it's okay. You deserve it. The Met fans deserve it. There's no doubt about it. They kicked the tar out of the Yankees all year long, not just this game last night. I know the other game was 3-2. It was close. They didn't score a lot of runs. But offensively, just top to bottom, they are so much better. The team is just far better.
Could you imagine the piece you would have had to put together for Summers on a night like tonight?
Oh, no. Thank God those days are over. Oh, I would have not have liked that. No, you have no idea. Tonight would have been a disaster of a night if you take me back, I guess, 12 years ago. I'd walk into the we would be sitting here. Bob Uecker would be in the newsroom. He'd be giving it to me. Steve would walk in. They'd be talking about, Steve would have an idea, and then Bob would say something out of left field, and then suddenly everything would have to change because Steve did everything Bob said, and then it's a disaster. Thank God. Thank God those days don't happen. But I did
It'd
have
be
to,
some random song with the number five
right,
because of the home runs.
Exactly. Something with five because of the home runs, or we'd be playing something with sweep and brooms, or, you know, it'd be something. It'd be some nonsense, some weird song. Paul's like frustrated. He's got to give me a minute. Like Paul would be yelling. It's in there. I just, those days. At least I did have 2009 when Bob was around. Thankfully, I had that. But I used to get just tortured. But yeah, I mean, I mean, no one has made me feel as small this year, as bad as it's been. The Mets, this is it. The Mets just absolutely kicked the crap out of the Yankees. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They kicked the crap out of them. Kevin and Copog, what's up, Kev?
What's up, C-Mac? Fire Boone, fire Cashman. We live in a simulation. How many summers has this been going on?
How many summers has what been going on? Losing like this?
For fire and Boone, fire and Cashman.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. The calls for it. Yeah, no, every year they call for it, sure. Every time they don't win the World Series, they call for it. I mean, that's just... Listen, I it's hard to argue at the moment. I'm so mad and they're so awful that I don't have it in me to muster that much of a comeback to it. And certainly, again, if we find out in the next 12 hours that Boone is relieved of his duties, how can I argue? Like, they haven't had any answers. It's a reasonable thing. It's honestly, after last night, it's reasonable for Boone to lose his job. Like, I don't think he should. I don't think it would change anything. But how could I tell you can't do it? And Cashman this year Like, everything he tried other than Juan Soto has fallen apart. He waited all these years for Volpe. He's not playing well. He went out and got Verdugo. And we don't remember that we all liked it. Like, we don't remember that we all said, hey, Verdugo's actually going to be pretty good for this team, and he's a gamer. Yeah, you know, he brings up a different attitude. Judge wanted him. Yeah, all right, so it didn't work out in Boston, but as long as he fits into the clubhouse, then he's a dog for the first 2 months of the year, and they're barking in the they have special things going on. They're beating teams they never beat, like the Astros. They're winning games coming from behind. They're the first team to 50. They're barking and doing, you know, playing dogs in the clubhouse and in the dugout. And then suddenly, someone freaking turned off the nozzle, and now they're just awful. I don't know what happened.
Ebbs and flows. So I got three Mets trades. Trade season, baby.
Yes.
Alexis Diaz, Edwin Diaz's brother from the Reds, brotherly love.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I don't know what, I mean. I have to look up.
Yusei Kikuchi from the Blue Jays, Kodai Senga countryman.
Yeah,
Japanese.
I know. Kikuchi pitches very well against the Yankees. I'm very, very well aware of Kikuchi. You know, his stuff is pretty good. I'd have to look at it again. I don't know all these guys' contracts off the top of my head, so I'd have to see.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
Diaz is in his last year of pre-arbitration, so he's about to head into arbitration. Okay, so yeah, I mean, and what's his numbers this year? You're talking about a reliever.
His ERA is like 4.6. They're not really too happy with him.
Yeah, all right. So then
19 saves though.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's a move they could make, I suppose.
And the last trade, Andrew Chafin and a reunion. Agent. Andrew Chafin and a reunion with Mark Canna. Get Mark Canna back here from the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, the Tigers and the Yankees match up pretty well. There's some thoughts about Canna coming to the Yankees. I don't know if I love that idea, but
the Mets.
Yeah, no, I know, but I was just speculating. I know he's on the trade market, is how I was trying to say. I've heard things about him to the Yankees, so I know he's out there. Would you want to bring back Canna? I don't know why you'd want to bring back Canna to this team.
Well, Marte, you know, he's pretty much a question mark in right field. I mean, Taylor McNeil's been playing good right field, but
yeah, and
there's another veteran bat, and the Mets love bringing guys back.
Yeah, I don't.
That's Kelly Johnson.
Yeah, I don't like it. They could probably use another left-handed hitter as opposed to a right-handed hitter. They got a lot of right-handed hitters. They got Vientos. They got Martinez. They got Alonso, Alvarez, Taylor, Bader. Like, there's a lot of right-handed hitters in the lineup. If I was going to go out and get a bat, which I'm not even sure I would, I would get a left-handed hitter, and I wouldn't bring back Mark Canna. I think Canna is more of an option for the Yankees. If you look at some of the guys they have, they're going to obviously look to trade. I could see the Yankees making a deal for Canna. I don't know how I feel about that either. I don't know. It's not a needle mover necessarily. Anthony in West Hempstead. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, C-Mac, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Okay, I got 2 points for you. For the Mets, I believe in their lineup. Their lineup is a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the starting pitching, especially when Sanchez comes back. I believe that they only need maybe, I would say, one really good arm in the pen and a decent arm in the pen, and they can make a serious run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, look,
one more point as well.
Yeah, go ahead. Go make your point. Good. Then I'll.
Okay. I'm a fan. Now, I hear the Yankee fans. Everybody's talking about how they can break out of this slump. Everybody's saying, "Oh, when Stanton comes back." What is it? You honestly believe Stanton is the almighty savior of this?
No, I don't think. I don't know. They still have to have a trade deadline, but you got Stanton coming back.
They think, oh, Stan's coming back, like he's going to, reinforce this whole lineup. It's not, like, I don't see that happening.
Well, I'm not, by no means does it mean, I don't think anyone's thinking Stanton comes back changes everything, but it adds a much-needed force in the middle of the lineup when he was having a pretty damn good year. It was important for them and was hitting a bunch of home runs.
The other night I was listening to you, and you were having an argument with somebody about McNeil and Glaber, would you take now?
Yeah, I mean, McNeil's hot, but, you know, Glaber hit two home runs in this series as well.
Would you take McNeil?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing better right now. I don't know if I changed my mind completely on it. I suppose. That's what I mean, Glaber did hit two home runs in this series. I mean, he's turning it around a little bit, hopefully.
I don't know. It's very close. McNeil's on fire right now. I still think if you want to go on track record, over the last year plus, last season and this season, I think Gleyber Torres has been the better offensive player, and that's not saying much. I mean, we look at it, he's, you know, McNeil's been awful this year. He's been hot for a week, 2 weeks. If they're both at the, if they're both going to play like they've played over the last 2 weeks, then yeah, McNeil's been hotter. He's put good swings together. He's a left-handed hitter, but I think it's pretty much a wash, nor is it a really relevant conversation. We had some fun with it the other morning. I'm open to it. I never thought it was a slam dunk. I didn't mean to go out there and just, but people said it was crazy. Like one guy called up and said, would you rather have Torres or McNeil? And I thought about it for 30 seconds and hemmed and hawed and then said, Gleyber. And then I got four calls. You're crazy. And so I started to argue back that it's not crazy to pick Gleyber. But honestly, yeah. Either one, right now, I don't think there's a real argument to be made that one is an absolute no-brainer as opposed to the other. But it's not going to happen, so let's not waste our time on it.